Good morning. Today's daf in Ksuvas Nun Dalet. We're Nun Gimel Amud Beis. We're towards the top of the Amud. We're going to continue regarding the obligations that an estate has. We've been discussing now for a good part of yesterday's daf the obligation that the estate has towards the daughters. The estate has a responsibility to go ahead and provide for the daughters. And so now we're going to be talking about the widow herself. The estate has an obligation to provide for the widow, support for the widow. So with that stated, let's just pick it up right where we left off yesterday. Nun Gimel Amud Beis, towards the top of the Amud, two lines down. So, Benan Nukvan Diavon L'chai Minai. So, the Gemara is calling the Mishnah, but we're going to be discussing. This is still going to be a continuation of the discussion of the support of the daughters, and then we're going to go, and we're going to discuss the widow. So Tani Rav. So Rav taught the following in the Mishnah: Ad Tilachin LeGuvrayim. Okay, support for the daughters is going to go up until what point in time? Meaning, there's going to be a cutoff. That part's clear. The state does not have to continue to support the daughters ad infinitum. There's going to be a term limit to when the support is going to continue, and that's going to go until what point in time? So it's not clear. Meaning, it really depends on the nusach that you have, the nusach of the Mishnah, the nusach of the Ksuva. And so what we're going to be hearing from the Amoraim are, what exactly was their nusach? So Rav had the following nusach. So when he learned the Mishnah, so his girsa of the Mishnah was, Ad titilachin leguvran. So until you get married. So in other words, so that means to say that the estate is responsible to support the daughters until marriage, until they get married. V'levi tani ad titibagran. So Levi says, until you become a bulgaris. Okay, so those obviously are two different endpoints for when they're going to be getting support. And the Gemara at this point in time is having a little bit difficulty understanding. So, Larav afagav de Bagar, and Lelevi afagav de Insav, meaning I don't understand. Rav and Levi are exclusive from one another. It's hard to imagine. Meaning, according to Rav, where his nusach was, until you get remarried. Okay, let's say they don't get remarried. They're bulgaris now. Meaning, a bulgaris is a full-fledged adult. And now the estate has an obligation to support them? That's difficult. Alternatively, Levi. Levi says until they become a full-fledged adult. And if they get married, the estate has to support them? I mean, that's also difficult to imagine. So Elo, so the Gemara says, okay, so here's what we're going to say. And that is, Shebagar v'lo insiv, insiv v'lo bagar, dekuliyam v'lo pligi. No, so the Gemara says as follows. So those are two absolute endpoints of her support. She's not going to get supported anymore if either of those two events were to occur. Either if she becomes a full-fledged adult, alternatively, if she now is married to another man. So at that point in time, there is no longer an obligation for the estate to support this woman. So ki pligi barusa v'lo bagar. So the debate between Levi and Rav is going to revolve around what happens where she entered into Erusin. If she entered into Erusin, but she has not yet become a bulgaris, so Rav would then be of the position since his nusach read ad tilachon legovrein, so that means until she's taken by another man. Well, if Erusin is her being taken by another man, now admittedly the other man doesn't yet have the obligation to support her, because as we discussed already numerous times, support in terms of a marriage only begins at Nisuin, not at Erusin. But still, in other words, in compliance with the language of the Ksuva says, until you're taken by another man, she's taken by another man. According to Levi, that's insufficient. Levi will tell you that she only went upon entering into Nisuin with another man, then and only then is her support going to be cut off from their family. So Levi had the following braisa, where according to his version of the nusach of the ksuva, basically his version of the braisa, is until you become a bogeres and it's time for you to get married. So the Gemara says tarte. Now that's difficult to understand. Meaning those are two different endpoints. So the Gemara says ella o to debagran, right? O diamte zimnun le insava. It means either or. Either she becomes a bogeres or she's taken for marriage, whichever comes first. Kitanai ad masaya bas nizonis. The Gemara points out it's machlokas tanai. Until when is a daughter going to be supported? Ad shiteres mishum Rabbi Elazar amru ad shitibeger, either erusin or bagrus. Okay, so we have a machlokas amongst the tanai. Tini Rav Yosef taught the following in the brisa: ad diyahavon. So until you are, meaning with another man. It's at that point in time that no longer does the estate have an obligation to support her. And he by lohu havaya de erisin or havaya de nisuin. Okay, but further clarification. Havaya just simply means she is with somebody else. But that is could either be understood as first stage of marriage, erisin, or second stage of marriage, nisuin. Take with the Gemara leaves this question unresolved. Where are we right now? In a back and forth in the Gemara, the daughters are going to have a term in terms of which their support will come to an end. If she's a Bogeris, no question about it. It's at that point in time she's a full-fledged adult. The estate no longer is obligated to support her. If, let's say, she gets married before she becomes a Bogeris, also her support will come to an end. And the only thing really that we're litigating right now is what if it's before she's a Bogeris, but she only went through Erisin. Is that now going to end the support from her from her family, from the estate? That part's unclear. Amalei Rav Chista le Rav Yosef. We're in Nun Gimel Amud Beis. We're about halfway down in the Amud. The Amalei Rav Chista le Rav Yosef Mishmielach Minei de Rav Yehuda La Abrusi Yesh Lamazonos or in Lamazonos. Okay, so did you hear anything that Rav Yehuda had to say on the matter regarding the Arusa? Is she supported by the estate or not? So Amalei, Mashma lo Shmieli, he says, look, I don't have any tradition per se, but Elam Yisvara, Leislai. But if you ask me what my opinion is, I don't think that she's entitled to support anymore, even by Erisin. Why? Kevin de Irsa, so lo Nichale de Tetzel. Because look, Erisin means that somebody's married to her. And what he won't do is he won't let her be embarrassed. He won't, in other words, he won't let her go through the embarrassment of having to find support from, you know, some sort of soup kitchen. Now, it's a funny argument, by the way, just if we could talk this out for just a moment. It is a funny argument because, generally speaking, an Arus is not obligated to support his wife. Over here, Rachmanis, in other words, this girl over here lost her father, and now the estate is supporting her, and now she's in a transition period. In other words, she's going now from the estate to being married. So in this transition period, so we're trying to figure out now who's going to support her. And the argument that's being provided is, well, you know, she's got an arus, and you know what? He won't let her starve. He's not obligated yet to provide for her. So it doesn't seem like a totally compelling argument, but that's what he's suggesting. So the Amar Lei Imashma Lo Shmielach Misvara Islay. So Rav Chisda says back in response, look, if you want my opinion, he's like, I'm going to argue in the other direction. Meaning, you don't have a Mesorah from Rav Yehuda? Fine. And now you're making arguments? I'll make another argument. And that is, Kevin de lo kimle begavei, lo shati zuzibichdei. Look, in other words, Erisin is marriage, right? We've gone over this point so many times. Erisin is marriage, but, in other words, it doesn't mean that they are going to have a successful marriage. Meaning, at this point in time, it may fall apart. And now what? Now I'm going to, this is the Arus's thought process. I'm going to start providing for her and giving her mizonos, meaning I'm going to now have to pay out of pocket, right? We're not living together. It may not work out. It may just end in a gerushin. I don't know. And now you want me to support her? The Arus may not be open to the idea. People don't like spending money if they're not going to get a return of their investment. Right, I know it's not the nicest way to say it, but that's basically the idea. Igad Amri, the Gemara has a slightly different version. Amrle, Mashma lo Shmieli, Misvara Islay. Okay, this is just another version of the same discussion we had. Kevin de lo Kimle Begava, lo Shadi Zuzibichdei. Again, he doesn't know if this marriage is going to be successful, and so therefore people don't like spending money. And the Arus is not going to support her. So Amrle, Mashma lo Shmielach, Mitzvah Leisle, Kevin de Irsa, Lo Nichele de Titzel. And then the counter argument of the Arus is not going to let her starve. That won't happen. Okay, so back and forth, in other words, she's transitioning from going from the estate over to the over to a new husband, but she's only at the stage of Erisin. And the back and forth and the multiple svaras that we have in terms of whether or not the Arus should support her or not. Okay, Adkan, that takes us to the end, not the end of yesterday's daf, but we are now at a juncture point. We're going to be asking lots of questions, giving very few answers. There are going to be five questions in total that we're about to ask. But before we ask the question, so what do we now know? So we now know that as part of tonight's ksuva, so the daughters are going to get supported. The daughters are going to get supported until either they become a bugaris or they marry a man. That part's clear. The part that's not clear is that transition period from erusin to nisuin. So who's going to have the responsibility of supporting her at that point in time? Does the estate still have to support her during erusin? Unclear. Unclear meaning we can argue in one of two different directions. With that stated now, simon, so the Gemara gives us a simon de gavre, shak zaraf, and ma'ana yavama shnia arusa anusa. Okay. The sentence over here, the non-coherent sentence is a mnemonic to help us try to remember the five questions that the Gemara is going to ask. Okay, good. So when you are prepared to commit this to memory, the mnemonic certainly is going to help. Balmine me rav sheshes, mam enes. So yesh mazonos or ein la mazonos. So let's say you have a girl who went through mian, married off by her mother or by her brother, and then walked away from her husband. So we now know, I mean, we've done this in Yavama so many times. So we know that when she's married off by her mother, so the nisun only operates on a derabbanan level, she can annul the marriage. She can just simply refuse the man once she turns to becoming an adult. So at 12 years of age, she could do an act of miyun. Okay, now, question becomes the following. She was married. She annulled the marriage. So does that totally expunge the marriage so she could still be receiving support from the estate? Alternatively, she's a married woman. Granted, she annulled it, but she was a married woman. Okay.
Isn't she a Bulgarian?
Not necessarily. In other words, Mian could be done beforehand. Right? Good. Good. It's a good question. So Amalu Rav Sheshes Tenisua. So Rav Sheshes says, I know the answer based on the following braisa. Amana Bevesa via Grusha Bevesa via Shameres Yavam Bevesa via Yeshla Mizonos. So all these women who went through marriage, but let's be clear about this. The first stage of marriage, not the second stage of marriage. So they're all going to be able to continue receiving mizonos from the estate. And Rav Yehuda Omero de Bevesavia, Yesh Lamizonos, and Bevesavia in Lamizonos. Now Rav Yehuda seems to be echoing the same sentiment, which of course prompts the Gemara to ask the following question. Then what was the purpose of Rav Yehuda? If all he's doing is just repeating what the Tanakhama said, Rav Yehuda Hainu Tanakhama, so Elalav, Mamenesika Beinayu. So the Gemara says, okay, so the subtle difference between the Tanakhama and Rav Yehuda is exactly regarding the case of Mian. Meaning, to be clear, let's say your woman was married, but first stage of marriage, Erison, which means she never left her father's house. And Arusa, we've gone over this numerous times, and Arusa is still living in her parents' home. So therefore, she's still entitled to support of the estate. Now, I know it's funny, by the way, because moments earlier in the Gemara, we just deliberated that maybe we're expecting the Arusa to be taken care of by the Arus. Okay, but as for now, we're assuming that the Arusa is living in her family's home and she's going to be supported by the estate. If, let's say, the marriage terminates during Erusin, Grusha, Almana, however it terminates, so nevertheless, she's still going to be supported. Ah, so the difference between the Tanakhama and Rav Yehuda is going to be regarding Miyun. Tanakhama Savar Isla. So the Tanakhama is of the position that she is going to be entitled to Mizonos, meaning the Mema'enes, even though, again, by the way, her trajectory was different. In other words, unlike the woman who went through Erusin and got a divorce, she never left her father's house. Now, granted, the Mema'enes had a different trajectory. She actually married a man. She was with her husband. She lived with her husband. But again, what the annulment does is it totally expunges the marriage. It basically brings her back into her family's home, entitling her to support. And Rav Yehuda Savar Leisla, and Rav Yehuda will say no. In other words, because the trajectory is different, so therefore, and because she was actually married to a man, so she no longer is entitled to support. So where are we right now? Question number one. The Mema'enes, is she going to, after she does Miyun, can she go back to her family and get supported by her family? Yes or no? Right now, indeterminate. And by the way, for every one of these questions, the Gemara is not going to have answers. By Reish Lakish Bas Yavama. So let's say the Yavam marries his Yavama, as per the mitzvah, and they have a daughter, and then the Yavam dies, and now is his estate going to be supporting his daughter? So Yesh Lamizonos, O Ein Lamizonos. So what could possibly be the question over here? It's his daughter, right? As part of a ksuva contract, so you are obligated, your estate is obligated to support your daughter. Why are we litigating this case over here? So hopefully you figured it out. The Gemara spells it out. So Yesh Lamazonos saying Lamazonos, Kevendam Amar, Suvasal Nechse Bala Rishon, because remember what we learned back in Yavamos, when the Yava marries his Yavama, so does he write Iksuva? The answer is no. He doesn't write Iksuva. Why? Because she has one already. So all he does is that basically, remember, he fills into the role of his brother, which means to say that he does not write his own independent Ksuva. The Ksuva that he's using is going to be his brother's Ksuva. Ah. So on one hand, Ksuva al Nechse Bala Rishon, so Leisla, so that means to say that he didn't write a Ksuva for her, and therefore all the Tanai Ksuva don't kick in as well. Odilma, Kevin di Leisla Mirishon, Takin la Rabbanan mi Sheini. So Islay, alternatively, what also did we learn back in Yavamos? We learned that, let's say, the brother died penniless, and now there is no estate to go ahead and secure a ksuva. In other words, a ksuva, it's not just a piece of paper. The ksuva means that I have assets that are going to be securing this obligation. And let's say the brother died with no assets. So now, when the Yavam wants to do the mitzvah of Yibum, so there are no assets of the brother to go ahead and secure the ksuva. So what he has to do is, now he has to write a ksuva. So there can be an occasion where the Yavam is going to be writing a ksuva, and since that's the case, so therefore, not only is he writing a ksuva, but all the Tanai ksuva are going to kick in, including the support for the daughter. So does the Yavam's estate have to support the daughter? Gemara also leaves this question unanswered. By Rav Elazar, we are now up to the third question. So Bashnia, so Yesh Lamazonos Ein Lamazonos. Okay. I will tell you what is not pshat in the Gemara over here. The Gemara does not mean your second daughter. That's not the pshat. The pshat in the Gemara is the following. We also go back to Yavamos and we go back to Daf Chaf Chaf Aleph, where we're introduced to the Shnios. The Torah gives us all the arayos that you cannot marry, family members that you cannot marry. So open up Achrimos and Kedoshim in the Chumash, and there you're going to find a list of the arayos, family members that you're not allowed to marry, other women also that you're not allowed to be with as well. On top of that, so the Chachamim, this is a very, very old takana, a takana that goes back to Shlomo HaMelech. So in addition to the arayos and the Torah, he added other family members as well. The Torah prohibits a mother. I'm just giving one example. So the Chachamim prohibited a grandmother. Can't marry a grandmother. Okay. So this is what's called the Shnia. Now, unlike the Erva itself, so there's no Tfisus Kedushin, meaning you can try to marry. It's simply not going to take place. On the other hand, when it comes to a Shnia, that's an Issa de Rabbanan. So if you marry her, is there Tfisus Kedushin? Oddly enough, yes. Okay, are the Chachamim happy with that marriage? Unequivocally, no. You're violating an Issa Durabanan when you marry this woman. Okay, is she going to be entitled to a ksuva? The answer is no. Meaning, because you are marrying a woman who is rabbinically prohibited to you, so the Chachamim say, you're not entitled to a ksuva, but that's not our question. Our question is going to be the following. You married a Shnia, you had a daughter, you died. Is your estate now going to be supporting the daughter, yes or no? Good. That's the question. So, Kevan de Leisle Ksuva Leisle Mizone. Odilma, we're on the top of Nandala Madalaf. Odilma, Ima Davde Isura, Kantur Rabbanan, Idlo Avde Isura, Lo Kantur Rabbanan, Teku. Okay, so the Gemara says here, look, I'll tell you the two sides, and that is vis a vis the relationship that he had with his wife, that is a rabbinically prohibited relationship. So there, the Chachamim are going to sanction that relationship. Right? No ksuva. No, in other words, you're not entitled. You violate Issa de Rabbanan. Okay, but Nebuch, the daughter, in other words, she's a product of that union. She's an innocent bystander to now the act of the parents. And so now what? She's not going to be entitled to support? So on one hand, once the mother forfeits the ksuva, so that goes away all the Tanai ksuva. On the other hand, the daughter's an innocent bystander. Maybe there should be a requirement to support her. The Gemara leaves this question unresolved.
So the Gemara goes to the Rabbanan case, goes to the Daraisa case of a Sproul marrying a Mamzer, or a Kohen marrying a
Grusha. Right, right. So, right, correct. Meaning, it could be that this question also would be in those cases as well. Right?
So is it a Daraisa case in Scripture or lenient? It's just unusual for them to go to the Rabbanan as opposed to the Daraisa case.
Fair question. I don't know. Okay?
Actually, it should have been... She gets punished because she doesn't get a ksuba. he gets punished for marrying her by supporting the daughter.
That's right. What I imagine what David's asking is that maybe over here, because he's violating a derabbanan, so maybe the chachamim were more quick to respond with enforcement, meaning because people, generally speaking, are lax in terms of their compliance with dinei derabbanan, and so therefore the chachamim said, look, we're not honoring it. There's no ksuva. And again, this is not the Gemara's conclusion, but and on top of that, the estate's not supporting the daughter as well. Meaning maybe the Chachamim are coming in with a heavy artillery because they violated a din derabbanan. Dine daraisa do not need that kind of.
Yeah, but he goes scot free, that's what I'm saying. He's not an innocent. He married her.
Yeah, correct. Right. He is financially benefiting. Right. It's a fair point. Okay. Well, correct. Correct. Okay. By Rava. Basa Rusa. So, Yesh Lamazonos, Oein Lamazonos. Okay, so now, Erusin. Okay, so again, things that we know already. We've done this, Baruch Hashem. We've done this time and again. So, Erusin, the two of you are married, but you're not together. In other words, you're still living at home with your parents. She's still living at home with her parents. And it's a funny transition period of marriage, but that's called Erusin. Good. And they shouldn't be together. Granted. Okay, but as you can imagine, however, like in other words, they go out for a coffee and the coffee turns into, you know, more than a coffee. Okay, and they have a child. Okay. Of the
coffee.
Yeah. So the perfect. Thank you. So now they have a child. So the a child that comes out of Erison. So once again, that was a now understandably, by the way, of the violations out there, in other words, I know we shouldn't be, you know, charting, you know, how bad this is, but this isn't that bad. Meaning they are married. Now there is a rabbinic prohibition for an arus and arusa to be together. That's the way the Rambam writes it. It's an isser derabbanan for an arus and arusa to be together. The Rambam, as long as I'm citing the Rambam says that there's corporal punishment if they are in fact together. So it's not just, you know, it's whatever. It is serious. On the other hand, it's your wife. So you produced a child with her, which you shouldn't have done. Fine. Now, question becomes the following. You died, and now the estate, supporting the daughter, yes or no? Good. Let's see. Right? It's all the same question, just different versions of this question. So the minig was, David's reminding us, he's right, that in the Yehuda province, so they encouraged it. They encouraged this kind of behavior. Okay. So by Rava Basa Rusa Yeshla Mizonos or in Lamizonos. So came the Islake Suva Isle Odilma came into Lotakin Rabbanak Suva Ad Shasni Suin Lesle. So on one hand, look, maybe he wrote a ksuva, meaning he was with her prematurely and he also wrote a ksuva for her as well. Maybe he did. On the other hand, the ksuva is not actually required, it's not obligated until the point of Nisuin. Once again, Teiko, the Gemara leaves this question unresolved, and we have one more question to ask along this line. By Rapapa Basanusa, Yeshla O'Einla, Yeshla Mazonos O'Einla Mazonos. And finally, the last case, and this one is going to be slightly uncomfortable. The man violated a woman, okay? And what do we know? So we already learned the third parak of Ksuvas together. So we know that what the Torah now wants him to do is he wants him to marry her, and if he's not given a choice by the case of Ones. She's given a choice. But if she decides, okay, yeah, let's do it, and they get married, and on top of that, they're not allowed to get a divorce. He's not allowed to divorce her. So now he dies. They had a daughter. Is the estate required to support the daughter? What are the two sides to this question? So I'll leave it to Rav Yudaloti by Lach Yishlak Suvamana. So look, does this anusa get a ksuva? So this takes us back to the third parak of the Masechta. You remember a debate on this issue. Rabbi Yehuda says that she does get a ksuva. Granted, it's a mana, but she gets a ksuva. So then, once you get a ksuva, so then all the Tanai ksuva as well. And yes, the daughter's going to get supported. Nothing to discuss over there. So kiti bailach liba de rabbanan de amre yasek hasav kenasa b'ksuva sa mai. So. According to the Shita of the Chachamim, there is no ksuva. Now, why is there no ksuva? So, first of all, you already paid the knas, so all the amount is paid on the front end. Now, granted, by the way, through a kanas, not through ksuva, but still. And on top of that, what's the purpose of a ksuva? So that you think twice before divorcing her. Here, you are prohibited from divorcing her. You can't divorce her. So, kevin delays like ksuva leis amizona. So then maybe it could be that now that there's no ksuva according to the chachamim, so the tanai ksuva as well, and your estate does not have to support the daughter. Odilma ksuva time amai kedesh lo take halah bein av lahutzia v'halah masi mapikla. So take. Alternatively, the lack of ksuva over here could just be a technical issue. The whole purpose of ksuva is that you don't divorce her that quickly. Over here, you can't divorce her, but that doesn't mean that we're forfeiting the entire institution of ksuva. It just happens to be that for the settlement portion of the ksuva, so that's going to be waived. But for every other aspect of the ksuva, maybe that still comes into play. Once again, the Gemara asks the question, Teku. The Gemara leaves his questions unresolved. Okay, so we had five questions regarding the supporting of the daughter. We're going to continue. Nun Dalem and Aleph. We're about 15 lines from the top of the Amud Ate Yasva Bevesi. Okay, we are by the Almana. Okay, so the first part of today's daf, we continued with yesterday's discussion regarding the support of the daughters as one of the Tanai Ksuva, and many discussions that we have so far this morning regarding what is the terms of that support, until when is the estate obligated to support her. Maybe there are a number of scenarios in which the estate has no obligation to support her, maybe. So, and we asked that question five times over. Now we move back to the widow. So as part of the Tanai Ksuva, the estate has to support the widow here as well. Up until when? So that's going to be our question. But Ate Yasva Bevesi, Tani Rav Yosef. If you read the Ksuva carefully, now again, we don't have the actual formatted Ksuva. One of those questions which I asked yesterday, I'll re-ask again today. I don't have a good answer. And that is that there was clearly a nusach of the ksuva that we don't have nowadays. Meaning, even if you go to a chasna and listen carefully to the ksuva being read, and the truth of the matter is you could just download one up and read the ksuva nowadays. The ksuvas that we have nowadays do not mention most of what we're discussing right now. Meaning, there clearly was a nusach of the ksuva that included the support for the daughters and the support for the widow, and the ksuva's been in dechrin. And what happened? What happened to the old nusach of the ksuva? I don't know. But I asked it yesterday, ask again today. Okay. Ate yasva bevesi. So in the language of the ksuva, speaking now to the widow, or again, it's a prenuptial agreement. So speaking to the, in the event that you become a widow, so you live in my house. In other words, what the expectation is that you will have a room here in this house, right? And again, we'll get to the end point of that. But so Tani Rav Yosef Bevesi v'lo bebikasi, ava mazoni islay. So according to Rav Yosef, there has to be a house. Meaning, Rachmanis, the husband died, and he doesn't even have a home, right? He's got a shack, right? Right, they're living out. Correct. It's not. It doesn't even qualify as a home. So there, since there's no bias, so then they don't have to. They don't have to make room for the almana. However, they still have to provide mizonos. Okay, Marbar Avashi, Amar Afilo Mizoni Isle, Nami Leisle. Marbar Avashi is of the position that house and support are connected one with the other. Once there's no obligation for a house, there's no longer obligation for support. Veleisei Chlosar Kamarbar Avashi, but the Gemara immediately rejects that position. Even if you don't have the accommodations to take her into your home, nevertheless, you still have to support her. I'm Rav Nachman, I'm Rav Shmuel, Tavuli Nasim Nispaisa and Lemizonas. Okay, now, we're going to have a somewhat lengthier discussion right now in terms of how long does the support go for the widow? Meaning it's not indefinite. It's going to be for the foreseeable future until, so we're now going to try to finish that sentence, right? Well, at what point in time now is she no longer qualified for the support from the estate? This is now the widow. Right? As opposed to the rest of this morning, the earlier part of this morning, we were talking about the daughter. Now we're talking about the widow. So, Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Shmuel Tavuli Nasiv Nispaisayin Lamizonos. So let's say she's taking propositions, offers from other suitors. Okay, she's now ready to move on in her life. Okay, Rachmanis, she's a widow now, and she no longer wants to be alone. She wants to be married to another man. So according to Rav Nachman, Amar Shmuel, the moment that she is hearing offers from other men, and She's like, sounds good. And now, when I say sounds good, by the way, what does that mean halachically? Meaning we're before the point of erusin. Obviously, once she accepts erusin from another man, obviously she is no longer a widow per se. But in other words, but it sounds like we're even earlier. Meaning, what it sounds like is that we're at the point where she's
looking for a
shidduch. Yeah, she's dating, and she's not just dating. It's what you and I would call an engagement. Okay, so nispaisa. So at that point in time, so ilamizonos. So the Gemara says halam nispaisa the yesh lamizonos. Okay, good. And so from Shmuel, what it certainly sounds like is that before that point in time, she gets mizonos. So Avanu l'didim efarsh l'minei demar Shmuel. So Amra machmas ploni ba'ali yesh lamizonos machmas b'nei adam she'enem uganim le'en lamizonos. So this is really strange, and I'm going to give it away. This is not going to be an accepted position, but right now what the Gemara is suggesting is the following. So Nu, it could be her mother, could be a stepmother, regardless. In other words, they asked the widow, why aren't you dating? So if she says, I'm not dating because I'm still too attached to my late husband, okay, she gets mizonos. I'm not dating because, did you see the men out there? Not interested. So then, at that point in time, she forfeits her mizonos, because she clearly would like to be getting out there, but she doesn't have a suitor. Right now, the Gemara is proposing, that's going to be the difference. So I'm Rav Chista, Zinsein La Mizonos. So Rav Chista says, I'll tell you what, we'll forfeit her mizonos. Let's say she's with another man. Now, the Gemara's language over here is mizane, right? That usually means adultery. In this context, it doesn't mean adultery. She's a widow. But it just simply means that she was with another man. Okay, so the Amr of Yosef, so Kichlo Pirchasayin LaMizonos. Let's say she starts to put on makeup. Okay, that's it. Forfeiting of Mizonos. So Mandamar Zinsa Kol Shekein Kichlo Pirchasa. And Mandamar Kichlo Pirchasa Aval Zinsa Islay. My Tami Yetzer Ansa. Okay, really interesting distinction over here in the Gemara. Look, if she puts on makeup, she clearly wants to get out there. But if she just was with another man, meaning, again, right, you got to be unbelievably sympathetic, right, to people who are lonely, right? Being lonely, the rabbi spoke about this on Tisha B'Av, right? Being lonely is unbelievably painful. And she didn't want to be lonely. And so there's a tremendous Yetzirah that she wanted to be with the company of another man. The Gemara says, look, it's not acceptable, but it's excusable, okay? Not acceptable. I hope everyone got that distinction. It's not acceptable, but it's certainly excusable. Okay, what we're trying to figure out is when exactly comes the point in time where she wants out of the house, and we're talking about her putting on makeup, and we're talking about her right accepting propositions from other people. In other words, that's very difficult because when all said and done, we're talking about a financial arrangement between the estate and her, and now the estate is looking at like breadcrumb clues. Of like, at what point in time is she like looking to get out? The Gemara says this is not the halacha, and in fact, so what is the halacha? So Elaki Adam Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel Tovas Ksuva BeBeisdin Ein LaMizonos. It's very simple. She goes to Beisdin. She is at this point in time formally requesting for the Ksuva settlement. It's at that point in time that the Mizonos are not going to be cut off. The Gemara says, okay, but I do have a brisa, and that is Machr Ksuvasa, Mashkana Ksuvasa, Asa Ksuva, Apotik Ilachir, Ein LaMizonos. Let's say she either sells her Ksuva, uses it as collateral against a loan, or establishes it to be an Apotik. Apotik is a security, but it's a very specific type of security, where you're pointing to the item in which is going to serve as recourse for the loan. So in any one of those circumstances, she clearly is ready to exercise her Ksuva, utilize her ksuva, so at that point in time in Lamizonos. So Hani in Aval Tovaslo. So the Gemara says, okay, now you just told me that she has to go to Beis Din, formally ask Beis Din for a ksuva. So the Gemara says, Hani, Bein Beis Din, Bein Shelo Beis Din. However, Tovas, Beis Din in, Shelo Beis Din lo. So the Gemara says like this. If she's looking to exercise her ksuva and use it as a financial vehicle, so at that point in time, she is ready. She's ready to leave. And she no longer is going to get Mizonos. And that does not need to be done in Beis Din. But a request for the settlement payment of Iksuva, that has to be done in Beis Din. Okay, fine. V'chein hayu anshei Yerushalayim. Okay, a little bit more than halfway down on Nun Dal Amud Aleph. Let's remember. She's going to get support until she gets her ksuva settlement. Okay, whose choice is that? Is that going to be her choice? Or can the estate decide, you know what? Instead of mizonos, we're going to give you a settlement. So if you remember, this was a machlokas in the Mishnah. And it depends on whether or not you lived in Anshei Yerushalayim, Anshei Yehuda. Okay, so the Mishnah had a debate on this very issue. Itmar Rav Amar Halachik Anshei Yehuda. So according to Rav, the halach is like Anshei Yehuda, meaning Rav says that it's going to be the estate's decision, the kid's decision in terms of whether or not we can now, instead of giving her a constant support, we're just going to basically settle with the settlement of the ksuva. Shmuel Amar Halachik Anshei Galo. Shmuel's of the position that the halach is like Anshei Galo. Anshei Galo were of the position. It's not the estate's decision. It will be her decision in terms of when she is going to sub out the support for the settlement amount. So now you have a machlokes between Rav and Shmuel. Again, according to Rav, the estate's decision. According to Shmuel, it's her decision. Now, where do we stand in terms of the halacha? Bava v'chol parvadasa nahu k'rav. Narda v'chol parvadasa nahu k'shmuel. So the Bava over here, we normally would describe as a general region, but Bava over here is obviously referring to a specific geographic location within Bava. Anyway, if you're living in the city of Bavel or its suburbs, you fall like Rav. If you're living in Narada or the suburbs of Narada, so you fall like Shmuel, which makes sense. Shmuel was a Marda Asra of Narada. Hahi Bas Mechuza, fantastic story. Yesterday we were treated to an unbelievable story, today as well. So, Hahi Bas Mechuza, so there was a girl from Mechuza, Davin Esivas, Lenarda. She married a guy from Narada. So also lekame de Rav Nachman. Now she goes to Rav Nachman, and she wants to know, meaning how is she going to behave? Which minig is she going to be following? Minig Bavel or minig Narda? So shamala kala de bas mechuzehi. So Rav Nachman now hears her twang, and she's got a clear mechuzah accent to her. Okay, happens everywhere. So back in the day, so she clearly sounded like she was from mechuzah. So he says, okay, you're going to be following like Rav. So and Rav was of the position that the Yorshin can make the decision. So she says, look, I understand. I'm from Mechuza. But let me remind you that I was married to a man from Narada. Ah. So we know, and it's funny, we know this, but now this takes us all the way back to the time of the Gemara. Whose minhagim do you follow? His or hers? Okay, we all know the answer. It's clear from the Gemara that this is a very old establishment, that we follow his minhagim. So he says, I was married to somebody from Narda. Arm lehu, yahachi Narda, v'chol parvadasa, nahu g'shmol. So Rav Nachman says, okay, fantastic. So that means to say that you're married from Narda, you follow the minhag Narda, which means that you get to decide when exactly you're going to be swapping out the mizonos for the ksuva. And then, by the way, the Gemara says, Narada goes until what point in time? Meaning, how geographically Narada is up until what point in time? So basically, when you're using the measurements of Narada, you consider part and parcel of Narada, right? To give a simple example, meaning if you're using not the metric system, so you're American. So if you're using the metric system, okay, so you're European. Okay, good. Itmar amana Rav amar shaman ma she'aleha. Shmuel amar ein shaman ma she'aleha. Okay, new topic of discussion. Let's begin. Okay, she's going to be getting a ksuva settlement at one point or another. Okay, we've spent a good amount of time today's daf talking about when that point is and who can make that decision in terms of her getting a ksuva settlement. Okay, what is going to be the ksuva settlement? Well, we know what the base amount is going to be. 100 or 200 zuz, and then if the husband wanted to tack on more, Tosefis, fine. Whatever the number is, it's going to be a finite number. It's going to be a descriptive number. And now, whatever that is, that's what the estate is going to pay her. Now, she was married, she received a lot from her husband already. She's got clothing. Do we get to deduct that from the ksuva? So, debate amongst the Amoraim. So, Rav is of the position, Shama Mashallah. So Rav is of the position that whatever her clothing is, her wardrobe, so that is going to be now considered satisfaction of the ksuva, or part of the ksuva, therefore deducted from the ksuva. Shmuel Amar ain't Shama Mashallah. Shmuel's of the position, no? And basically what Shmuel will tell you is, how do we view her clothing? We view her clothing as a gift from the husband. But in other words, totally hers. So Amar Rav Chiya Bar Avin v'chilufa b'lakit. Now, it happens to be that when you have a worker, now this is the kind of worker who basically comes onto your premises, and what you do is you provide clothing for him. So, according to Rav Chiya Bar Avin, in other words, when figuring out, in other words, when you excuse him and you're settling with him, so is the clothing now going to be deducted from that settlement? So right now the Gemara has it, that whatever Rav's position is regarding the widow, opposite by the locket. And again, what the dynamics of the debate are, it's not clear. The Gemara really doesn't speak much about that. Sorry. Gemara doesn't speak at all in terms of what exactly are the svaras behind this. And Rav Kahana, Masne, v'chein b'locket. Now Rav Kahana says, no, it's the same machlokas. Whatever, whether or not deductions, the clothing can serve as a deduction regarding the woman, and where you stand on that issue will be exactly where you're going to be standing regarding the worker as well. So, umanu ba simana, yes, ba varmalasa, shalach upok. And just a helpful mnemonic to help you remember, meaning that according to Rav, so when you have a yasma over here, it's a strange term, meaning it literally means orphan, but in this context, it means a worker. So together with the armalasa, so what you do is that you strip them of the clothing, that serves as a deduction off the settlement amount. Amrav Nachman Afagav did not memasis and kavase de Shmuel Hilchza kavase de Rav. Now, even though the Mishnah seems like it's totally supporting Shmuel, the halacha falls like Rav did not. Which Mishnah are we making reference to? The following. It's a Mishnah in Erchin. Echen amakdish nechas of Echen amarch es atzmo. So ein lo. When the gizbar comes and he's taking a mashkon against your obligation to the base of Mikdash. So, ein lo, lo b'ksus isha, v'lo b'ksus banav, v'lo b'tsevesh etzav l'shman, v'lo b'sandalim chadashim shalakach l'shman. The wife's clothing, he cannot take that as a mashkon. So, what comes out over here is the following, is that those clothing that you purchase for your wife, so they are for them. And it sounds like from that Mishnah that they belong to her, not to the husband. As a result of that, when you're reading the Mishnah in Erchin, it sounds like her clothing is hers. Oh, that's what it sounds like. And so therefore, when it comes time now for the widow to get the settlement amount of the ksuva, and whether or not the clothing can be deducted, it sounds like the clothing cannot be deducted because they don't belong to him, they belong to her. That's what the Mishnah in Erchin sounds like. But Amalei Rav L'Rav Nachman V'chimi Acher did not masisin kavasi d'shmol. Amai hilchasa kavasi d'rav. So the Gemara says, okay, but now that the Mishnah is sounding just like Shmuel, so meanwhile you're telling me that the halacha is like Rav, where we are in fact going to deduct the clothing off the ksuva amount. So Amarlei lichora kishmuel riata. When you read the Mishnah quickly, like we just did, yeah, the Mishnah does sound like Shmuel. Okay, but don't read the Mishnah quickly. I got a better idea, and that is slow down. So kimiyantabe, but when you do any analysis of the Mishnah, so hilchasa kavasa derav. My time, huh? Because now we're going to take a second look at that Mishnah in Erchin, and we're going to say the following. Ki akne la adaita la makim kamei. Adaita la mishka la meka lo akne la. He says, look, the husband, when buying clothing for the wife, in other words, he's not buying it in her and gifting it to her, saying it's yours. He's buying it for her because he wants to look nice within the framework of the marriage. But in other words, but it's not yours. It just simply means you get usage out of it. Ah. So that's why when the gizbar comes over and the gizbar wants to now take things against your obligation to the base of Mikdash, they're not going to take the wife because I bought it for her usage. Not that it's hers, but for her usage. Ah. But then at a later point in time, meaning now that the marriage is over and now obviously the utility of the clothing is no longer there. In other words, they're no longer married. He's no longer alive. So under those circumstances now, it reverts back to the estate. It belongs to the estate. Aishi wants to keep them, that's fine, but it'll get deducted off the ksuva. Okay. Kalta debe bar Eliashiv have a katav ksuva miyasme. So the daughter-in-law of Bar Eliashiv, so her husband died, and she wanted the ksuva settlement, and have a kamamti lahu lebedina. So she got subpoenaed to the court. Okay, so Amre, so the orphan said to her, "Look, you're gonna be going to the court. You're gonna be facing the judge. You should dress nicely." Okay, now. Aza livishtinu ve'echsetinu lekule mana, and she put on her clothing. Right, the Gemara sounds like she put on all her clothing, but she really dressed up. So also lekame de Ravina. So amalu echsekavase de Rav de Amra amana shamin mashalaha. Okay, the orphans were not giving her wonderful advice. What the orphans were doing were basically they know that the clothing are going to get deducted off, and they wanted to make sure that she brings her clothing in. So, it's not nice, but they did it, and right, I'm not here to judge. But they told her, look, you're going to dress up nicely when you go to court. They wanted to bring her clothing into court because they know that the court's going to deduct that off the settlement amount. Okay. Ha'ud amar lahu nedunya levraz zal nedunya amar avidi baravin for anali yasme. Okay, I know it sounds funny, but yeah, we'll do it. We'll stop over here. Because this happens to be a new topic. This is talking about appreciation, depreciation, who benefits from the appreciation, depreciation. We'll save this for tomorrow. It really ends our perek. And it happens to be that tomorrow we are treated to a short daf. Okay, good. Yeah, really short daf tomorrow. Okay, good. So let's pause over here. Okay, let's recap. We spent a good amount of time today talking about the support that goes to the daughters, meaning that the father dies and the Tanai Ksuva is asked to support the daughter. So our first discussion that we had today really was on the tail end of Nun Gimel Amud Beis, and that's going to be, that support is going to continue until either she becomes a Bogeris or she gets married to another man. And what was open for a discussion was, what about during Erusin? So during Erusin, is she still going to be supported by the estate? Gemara had a back and forth. The Gemara left that question unresolved. Okay. That was Nun Gimel Amud Beis. Continuing on Nun Gimel Amud Beis. So, many questions that we asked regarding the support of the daughter, five different questions that we asked in very specific circumstances. Miyun, Erusin, Anusa, Shnia. So a number of different circumstances in which the question was whether or not she's going to get supported, not get supported. All those questions were left unresolved. Okay. Then, the widow. For the good part of today's daf, Nandalid. So we talked about the supporting of the widow. The estate has the right and obligation, not right, but obligation to support the widow. So until what point in time? So after a lengthy discussion, the Gemara's conclusion is that when she goes to the court to formally demand her settlement, her cash settlement of the ksuva, it's at that point in time that she no longer is going to get supported. Any point prior to that, she's going to get supported by the estate. Okay, and we can add to that also is that if she uses her ksuva as a financial vehicle, so at that point in time, she also is going to be forfeiting her ksuva as well. Okay. She'll be forfeiting her support. Sorry. There is a discrepancy in terms of who can decide to stop with the mizonos and just give her ksuva settlement. Is that going to be a her decision or is that going to be a estate decision? Machlok is between Rav and Shmuel, and various communities had different minhagim in terms of who they followed. And very, very interesting Gemara today. Because what we learned today is that whoever the husband's married, whoever's minug the husband follows, that will command which minug she is actually going to be following. Okay, so that's obviously a very significant one. And the last discussion that we had in today's daf was regarding clothing that she was given to her by her late husband. So is that going to be able to be deducted from the settlement, from the ksuva settlement? That also is a machlokes between Rav and Shmuel. So the Gemara says halacha is like Rav, which is unusual. Usually, when it comes to mamonos, the halacha follows like Shmuel. But over here, Mishnah Erchin, a careful reading of the Mishnah Erchin, and we ended up following the halacha to be like Rav.
Is that the like that?
Sounds that way. That's the Gemara's conclusion. Adkan.